You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
Welcome to The State of Recruiting, a weekly podcast featuring the insights of Longhorn recruiting analyst Mike Roach, hosted by Bobby Burton. Roach offers unparalleled insight into recruiting on the 40 acres. Each week, he crisscrosses the state, watching and talking to blue chip recruits. And I'm Bobby Burton, a 1992 Texas grad and one of the recruiting industry's founding fathers. I played a formative role in the creation of both 24/7 Sports and Rivals.com. The State of Recruiting is taped each and every Wednesday during football and recruiting season. Subscribe now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Hook 'em. Hey, Mike, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing great. Texas football team, maybe not so much after, the score maybe wasn't indicative of just how badly the Longhorns got beat on Saturday in the Cotton Bowl. They dropped one to the Sooners. There were recruits on hand, obviously. So my question to you is there any fallout from that game thus far, or what is the tone or tenor of recruits as we look back at that?
I mean, I think luckily for Texas, they did get it to within one score, and it looks a lot more respectable on paper than it probably was. And I think that they can still sell it as, well, we lost to another top 10 team, and it was only by a score. And, recruits obviously enjoy the atmosphere of the game. And I think that that's probably in their heads a lot more. I'm not sure that anybody there freaked out about Texas the way probably some fans did. Recruits always seem to either have, a much longer view or much more laid back view of a team. If that was the case, then you would think there'd be a ton of fallout from A&M with the group of visitors they had against Alabama. It's just not, those kids, they just don't see things the same way that fans do. So I don't think there was a ton of fallout from that. I think maybe the biggest thing we would see, it's something we reported a couple weeks ago, we talked about on this podcast and have been following the story, is the Josh Eaton news that, from what I'm hearing, the Oklahoma is extremely, extremely in deep for Josh Eaton. Probably has a pretty decent chance to flip him. From what I heard this week, I think that communication has been a little bit inconsistent with Eaton and the Texas staff. I've also heard that communication has been very strong between Eaton and the Oklahoma staff. So to me, that just looks like signs going in kind of in the wrong direction.
So Texas currently at 20 commitments with Eaton, who is a corner out of it's Aldine MacArthur, right?
Yes.
Down, so he's at Aldine Mac, and long story short is he bows out and goes to OU instead. That puts Texas at 19. That would put Texas at 19 commitments. I agree with you, Mike. From the standpoint of recruits, and I think it's a key point that you make, recruits see things differently than fans. Fans are more invested in a particular program for a longer period of time, while the recruits are truly trying to get to know the program during this process. Not everybody grows up like Sam Ellinger, where they want to be the Texas quarterback for the next for that 4 years in college. Most of them don't have those favorite teams. They're fans more so of the Dallas Cowboys or New Orleans Saints or, fill in the blank, right? And so I think that you make a great point that fans need to take a step back a little bit and understand the pieces of the puzzle, so to speak, because they're just not making the decisions based on that. Now, if the score ends up 66-3 Adrian Peterson goes to OU over Texas. There is a difference, but when it's a one score game, both teams had a chance. Even though Texas, I thought, looked, you know, borderline pathetic in certain instances, you know, OU didn't look great at times either with a couple of those ducks that Jalen Hurts threw.
I think it's just the natural way about it is it's a one score game, yeah. But people who either A, cover the team like you and I do, or B, are lifelong fans invested in the team, they sit there for the week after and they can remember and agonize over every play and every chance. And we could have had this, we could have done that, that was a mistake. And the kids just don't. They leave and they think back to the game and they're like, oh, it was one score. They were kicking an onside at the end of it. It's just, that's like the biggest difference to me.
Mike, before we want to move on, I want to make sure folks know that we also have two other podcasts that they can download. One is called The Blitz. It's with Jeff Howe, primary football writer for Horns 24/7. You can find it on Apple, Spotify, etc. And then also we have a new podcast coming out with Chip Brown as the lead. He is a longtime observer of Longhorn Sports and reporter and the head writer for Horns 24/7. And it is called The Flagship. So you guys that enjoy this podcast, please give a listen to those as well if you enjoy Longhorn Sports. Both of those are more team-oriented than this, which is Mike and I try to stay on top of recruiting as much as we can. Mike, the guy that is building and knows these kids, you know, really, really well. Mike, speaking of that, the Longhorns recently kind of parted ways with a recruit that for a long time they led for, a young man out of California, LV Bunkley, a receiver. Can you tell me about that situation?
Yeah, so there were some things that came up, and they decided to kind of just part ways, and it's why we've seen so much movement at the wide receiver position. You know, it's why Kelvonte Dixon has entered the picture. It's why a guy like Kelvonte Dixon, of course, the Keyonte Ingram's little brother from Carthage. It's why Dejon Harrison, a new name from Hutto, has kind of popped up on the radar. And Texas, of course, still in it for Midland Lee, wide receiver Loic Fungi. You know, they really liked LV. He really impressed them at their satellite camp in the summer that I was at. Was easily the best kid there. I think a really natural and smooth receiver. There were just some things that didn't line up for them that they needed. And they decided to move on and maybe fill those spots with somebody else. But I think, you know, for Texas, they've really just they're in that mode where we're down to the end and it's trying to just make sure that they maximize everything they can get out of these last few pieces that are going to put into the class.
You mentioned the last few pieces, and I think that it behooves us now to talk about the official visitors that are coming in for the Kansas game. Do you have a list of, you have the official list thus far, at least, of who we expect in for their official visits to Texas this weekend?
Yeah, the only guys we have marked down as official visitors is two. We've got Alfred Collins, the defensive lineman from Cedar Creek in Bastrop, Texas.
That's a huge one, Mike.
I mean, that's massive. Probably the biggest target left on the board for Texas. You know, we've got him listed at 6'5", 275. I'm really interested for him to get a postseason measurement at one of those all-star games because when I saw him this year, he looked a lot more like maybe 6'6", 6'7", 300. He almost looks like an offensive tackle to me anymore every time I see him. But just a massive target for Texas. Could be the, you know, really the finishing touches on their pretty good defensive line class they've put together here. And then Loic Fungi, the wide receiver from Midland Lee, 6'4", 194, great speed. He's a guy that's going to look a lot like Brennan Eagles, who could line up in that Z position, threaten downfield with the size and speed. I think he'll catch the ball a little better. And is just a really great all-around athlete. He's a punter, a kicker as well, so he kind of just has it all. It's a kid I've really loved for a long time, and I kind of pushed his name out there for a long time, and Texas finally came around and offered in the late spring and summer, and I really like this kid's skill set since the first time I saw him on film a year or two ago.
Mike, let me ask you a question, First of all, I think I agree on Alfred Collins. I think Alfred Collins has a chance. It might I mean, you could make the argument that he's the best prospect in the state. So taking him out of the equation, I want to go back to this receiver situation because I think it bears directly on the Texas offense right now. Against OU, Texas, other than DuVernay and Colin Johnson, Texas really couldn't get open very much. I know part of that is some of the offensive play calls at times. You have to be a little more conservative, et cetera. But, I mean, who in this class of Texas receivers or young Texas receivers outside of – because both DuVernay and Johnson are gone next year. Outside of Jake Smith and possibly Josh Moore, which one of these guys, these slot guys or outside guys, are actually going to get open and not just be these big, massive outside targets?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I mean, that was kind of the knock on Brennan Eagles when he was coming out of high school, was his ability to get open and ability to beat press. I think it is a knock for Troy O'Meara as well. I think, you know, who's currently in the Texas class from Fort Bend Austin, they really like to recruit these big guys. I think Quentin Johnston, the wide receiver from Temple, can get open. He's gotten a lot better. His release is off the line and seems to have a better knack for creating separation. But, you know, he was a guy that I saw last January at a camp, and he had a lot of trouble, you know, just getting open there. So I think that's what you really get when you recruit and prioritize a lot of size at receiver. Those guys are easier to jam. They're bigger targets. And, you know, you've got to generate that production somewhere. I think Brennan Eagles can do it now. I mean, he's getting better, getting open. The problem was he couldn't catch the ball on Saturday.
He dropped one square in the face mask.
I mean, I can think of a few that, like, you know, they hit him, and I think you're thinking probably, Bobby, that quick slant they threw him. That's the one that's sticking out in my head.
But yep.
I think there were a couple they threw him downfield that you just expect a guy of his size to go and get, and I don't think he gives you that ability. I don't think he gives you the ability that, other than what's there, and if you throw it out to him and he's one-on-one, he'll probably catch it. I don't think he's going above two guys to bring a ball in, and you know, they really need guys like that. I think O'Meara and Quentin Johnston give you that factor. But yeah, I mean, it is a you know, really something to worry about, is finding guys that can create separation off the line of scrimmage, use space, and then catch the ball afterwards.
And I tell you, one of the reasons why I think that's much more important in the college game than maybe people realize. The pass interference / holding calls in college and rules are different than they are in the league, in the NFL. They're much more lax in the secondary with bumps 5 yards down. I mean, you literally can have a guy riding a guy out of bounds in college that would be a pass interference or holding call in the pros. And so if you don't create that separation, they're going to ride them. And I thought OU did a good job over that, even though they got a number of penalties in the secondary, in the second half in particular. Those bigger receivers are going to be bigger targets for those DBs to kind of ride on a little bit. So, you know, I looked at the list and I didn't see anybody. You mentioned Johnston because I think he is a quick twitch guy that is the rare 6'4" guy that can create massive separation and not just be a physical mismatch. Because, you know, I feel like, you know, anybody that can high jump 6'10" or whatever he did is going to be quick twitch, the very definition of it. But is Quay Davis, the 2021 kid, similar? Is he that kind of guy, you think?
Oh, yeah. If you want to get to the 2021 class, I think that the thing that makes Quay Davis special is he is very tough to jam. He's very tough to get on because his feet are so quick. And he's kind of that guy who can manipulate his body in different ways where you're never going to really get a square shot on him. I think he's actually, and I think I talked about this a couple weeks ago when I saw him, I thought he was a pure, like, Z target to be on the outside and go deep. I think that kid is turning more and more into a slot at Texas, and is I think that they love what he can do on the inside there, just because, you know, he plays on Skyline's a pretty bad team now, and they played Duncanville a few weeks ago and got killed, but there were plays where they would throw the ball out to him and he would immediately have four Duncanville defenders in his face, and he'd at least make three of them miss in space before the fourth one got him. So he's got that kind of special ability with the ball in his hands. And I think Loic Fungi, the kid coming in this week from Midland League, has that same type of ability. His feet, when I saw him in a 7-on-7 tournament in the summer, were very clean, you know, and I think that's what it takes to get off the line is just really quick and clean feet. And I think that's his, you know, he has a soccer background. And I think that really comes into play there.
Yeah, I get that. It sounds like you're battling a cold a little bit, Mike. I don't mean to bring out the negative.
Anytime the weather changes, my allergies go crazy.
Oh, so. Well, welcome to Texas, right? Because the weather will change. The question I had, the next thought on this topic, I guess, goes to if you're looking at these guys as downfield guys getting open or across the middle and crossing routes, et cetera, I don't think guys like Malcolm Epps will ever have that ability to actually create more separation than other than by his body. And I kind of wonder, you know, is Texas getting too many of those type of guys? Maybe they are, maybe they're not. I don't know. And I guess we'll have to wait and see. One last thing. The one kid I did see that I've seen this year that I thought could play that role is a young man down in the Fort Bend area in Houston, Devin Oshane. I don't know how to say his last name, but he's a smaller guy that can really run. Did Texas even look at him? And I think he's going to A&M. Is that right?
Well, he's undecided. He actually just came off of an LSU visit. But Fort Bend Marshall, first of all, is one of the fastest schools in America. Right. They've got the top track team in America. By the way, those guys are all their flag runners. They run the flags out before the team takes the field. So they have the fastest flags in America, they say. It's like their whole sprint relay team of guys who don't play. But yeah, Devon Achan, I believe it's Devon Chani. Somebody told me how to say his name once and I can never remember. He is kind of your classic slot back type guy. Plays a little running back. He plays a little slot. He's an electric speed guy. He can take the ball one step and go. Texas did offer him, but he wants to play running back. And Texas wasn't really in a position to offer him a chance to play running back. You know, they had were chasing guys like Bijan Robinson. They already had Ty Jordan kind of zeroed in for an elite speed guy who can play running back. And so, you know, I think that he never really gave Texas a decent shot after that. And so, yeah, I think it's down to probably LSU and A&M and Auburn, I think, is in there as well.
Gotcha. Okay. Next segment, Mike, I want to talk about, we always try to do this every week. Where did you go last week? Tell us what you saw, and then where are you going this week on the road?
Yeah, on Thursday of last week, I went out to Manor, I went out to Leander and saw Manor versus Leander Rouse to see Prince Lee Umamilan on a Thursday night. I thought he was pretty good. You know, I mean, that was kind of I've been skeptical of Prince Lee's ability, and it was kind of a prove it game to me. Where I wanted to see him in person. It was my first chance to see him in person in pads. And he really kind of surpassed my expectations. I thought he was pretty active, kept his motor running. They lined him up kind of all over the defensive line. He played inside. He played like 4-eye. He played a little bit of outside linebacker and edge rushed and was productive. You know, I mean, that's really one of the bigger things I look for in high school defensive linemen is are they lazy, basically? Because I think it's really easy for big guys in high school to coast by on their athleticism and be lazy. And I didn't see that out of Princely. he created a couple tackles for loss. He had a sack, forced a fumble, recovered a fumble. So a pretty good game for him on the night overall. And then on Friday, I was back up and down I-35. Bobby, I know you don't live in the state anymore, but I-35 has just turned into the biggest nightmare in the world between Dallas and Austin anymore. And Waco in particular is ground zero for that. So I made two trips through there and went back to Temple to see Quentin Johnston, who we just talked about, against Killeen. And it was really a quiet game. I mean, he opened the scoring. They threw him like a 30-yard touchdown pass where he just cruised past the corner and basically walked into the end zone. But Temple's quarterback, you know, struggled to locate the ball. He did not struggle to run. They kind of started their offense on his legs, and they got out to a pretty big lead pretty early on. And so there just wasn't really much use to keep forcing the ball to Quentin. So, you know, Temple was able to just kind of roll to a big win. And I think Quentin ended the game with something over a couple, maybe five catches for a little bit over 50 yards and a touchdown.
Was Gary Patterson at that game? Somebody told me Gary
Patterson rode up on the elevator with me to the press box. Him and Malcolm Kelly, the TCU wide receiver coach, the former Oklahoma coach, former Oklahoma receiver. They were there, and it seemed like they were there to check out Quentin Johnston. You know, I was told they're still very much in on him. I talked to Quentin after the game, and he acknowledged that it was very nice that they did come out to see him, but that he's 100% committed, not planning to take any other visits, and really hasn't been answering any calls from other schools lately.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, I think that's one of those guys, handful of guys that Texas does not want to lose in this recruiting class, because as we just went over, I mean, Texas needs some receivers that can get open and create separation. Desperate.
So this week, I've got three games. I'll do a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So Thursday, I will be out to see South Lake Carroll as they play Keller Fossil Ridge. So I'll be able to get a look at Andre Karich, the Texas commit, the offensive tackle from South Lake, who I think is probably the guy in the class who's going to be the biggest riser at the end of the year. I think that you'll see him go from near the bottom of the class in ranking to, I would say, almost near the top. I think there's a chance he could be the top-ranked offensive lineman in this class, at least of the committed guys that Texas has. And then also Quinn Ewers, their special 2022 quarterback who Texas recently offered. I've known Quinn for a little bit, and since he was in eighth grade playing 7-on-7. But this is his first year of getting varsity action, and so I'm excited to see him in pads for the first time. I think he's a special player and probably the guy Texas will be heavily in for in 2022. And then on Friday, I will be going to Houston to see Katie Taylor and Hayden Connor. They're playing Maid Creek. And Saturday, I will be back in Katy to see Jalen Milrow, Katy Tompkins, take on Morton Ranch. So I'm going to go see a couple of the foundation pieces for the 2021 class Friday and Saturday.
Gotcha. Katy Taylor also has another offensive lineman that Texas really likes too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Bryce Foster, who plays right next to Hayden Connor. And to me, Bryce Foster is probably – it's either him or Donovan Jackson – are probably the safest players in the state of Texas for 2021. I think that while they don't have, you know, the huge either athleticism or massive frames, I think that those guys are just two really solid, really salty football players that are going to be really, really good contributors at the next level. At a minimum are probably going to be, you know, just solid starters. So I think you take some of those guys sometimes. And so to me, I really like both those guys. So interested to see Foster as well.
All right, Mike, before we let go, I've got two last things. One is, and this is relative to what we were just talking about with receivers. I forgot about Marcus Washington. I think that he might be a guy that can get open for Texas in the years to come on the outside. I like what I've seen thus far from him. I like a little bit of what I've seen from Kennedy Lewis in that regard, although I don't know that Kennedy Lewis is necessarily as short space quick or body control quick as Marcus Washington. So that's one. I just want to mention that. Number two, and this is really more for you, putting you on the spot here, who's the next commitment for Texas?
I recently put in a pick for Kelvonte Dixon to flip his commitment. I think that rats are jumping off the ship at Arkansas. So I would say that Kelvonte Dixon is the next guy to commit to Texas.
So good. All right. Got to follow that up because you said rats jumping off the ship. the Crawford kid, Tykes Crawford at Carthage, is Kelvonte's teammate. Has Texas had any interest in him?
They have, but I just think from an academic standpoint, I don't think it's going to be a fit for Texas, and I think he's going to have some troubles there. So I think that's where their main concern has been, their main hesitation has been. And, you know, I think that they really like their offensive line group that they're bringing in right now.
And next year's group is supposed to be really special too.
Right, insanely good.
So you don't want to take too many unless they meet what you want up front. All right. Just a reminder to those of you guys listening, also please try to download and listen to the Blitz podcast with Jeff Howe and the Flagship with Chip Brown and Taylor Estes. Mike, thanks for coming in. I'll do the segue out of this, and we'll talk to you again next week, okay?
All right, we appreciate it, guys. Thanks, everyone, for listening. I would say also, if you're listening on, like, iTunes or something, please go in there and give us a review and a 5-star rating or whatever stars you think. We like 5 stars, but that really helps our podcast get out there on iTunes to maybe people who don't know to go look for it, maybe people who are just browsing. So we appreciate everybody for listening. And, Bobby, I'll talk to you next week.
All right, Mike. Thanks, man.
All right, thanks.
This has been The State of Recruiting, a weekly podcast featuring the insights of Longhorn recruiting analyst Mike Roach and hosted by Bobby Burton. The State of Recruiting is taped each and every Wednesday during football and recruiting season. Subscribe now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Hook 'em.
On May 23rd,
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil, returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.